Welcome into the Sports Objective. You're listening to our NCD1 baseball preview. On this episode, you will hear from App State head coach Kermit Smith, UNC Wilmington head coach Randy Hood, the head coach of the Western Carolina Catamounts, Bobby Miranda, and the beat writer, one of the beat writers for the NC State Wolfpack, and that is Corey Smith of Pack Pride, and does an excellent job of covering Elliott Avent's ball club for Pack Pride, NC State's 24/7 site. But right now, let's not waste any time. Let's go ahead and get right to it and go to App State head coach Kermit Smith. The Sports Objective, our NCD1 baseball preview rolls on. We appreciate everyone tuning in whenever and however you're watching or listening, whether it's Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. And this can also be accessed on pretty much any podcast platform such as Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and Spotify. It's hard to believe, but we're less than a month away from the start of the college baseball season. And with that being the case, we continue with our D1 baseball preview for the state of North Carolina. And right now I'm excited to be joined by the sixth-year head coach of the App State Mountaineers, Kermit Smith. Coach, we appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks for having me. I always look forward to this.
Absolutely. We appreciate you coming on as always. And, right off the bat, going into your sixth year there on the mountain, just talk about your program. I know last season, although the win total overall was not where you would like, within the Sun Belt Conference, very competitive, and you had a winning record in the Sun Belt for the first time in program history.
Yeah. You know, I think that it's kind of, there's a little glitch there in the COVID year, but, you know, the transition that we've had into the Sun Belt, and, you know, the trajectory that we've had in terms of wins and losses and where we're finishing and, postseason Sun Belt tournament. I feel like we've done a good job the last couple of years, just kind of starting to take small steps towards, obviously we want to be near the top of the conference. So, in the Sun Belt, I feel like we're very competitive. We have some work to do outside of that.
And really, you take a look at it, I talk about that competitiveness, and you had games, a lot of those games could have gone either way, and pitch here, pitch there, and you were really not very far from being in the running for competing for a championship a season ago.
Yeah, it's you never know how the ball's going to bounce, but I was proud of our guys, thought we competed, and went into the tournament, and we're one swing away there in game two from playing on. Having a chance to play for a chance to go the championship game there late in the tournament. So, I thought we were very competitive again all year long in the Sun Belt, even into conference play.
Taking a look at this year's team, let's first talk about what you have coming in. I know you're bringing in a lot of transfers, be it from the JUCO route or the transfer portal, Division I ranks, with guys coming from the likes of East Carolina and Virginia Tech. So just talk about some of those guys that you're bringing in this season. And I know you have three high school guys as well.
Yeah, we're excited about our recruiting class. The guys you mentioned and our freshmen. I think they all have the opportunity to impact our program in a positive way. The Virginia Tech transfer Xander Hamilton, he's going to have a chance to compete for a weekend spot if he continues on with what he did this fall. The East Carolina transfer that you mentioned, Austin St. Laurent, he's going to have a chance to compete for a starting position coming into January and February. And you know, the freshmen, we really like all three of those guys, whether it be this year or years in the future. I think that they're going to have a chance to really impact our program. A couple of junior college guys that you know, I think are going to have a chance to impact our program. One that jumps off the page is Dylan Rogers, outfielder, first baseman, left-handed hitter, does a really good job for us. We got another four-year transfer, grad transfer from Charlotte, Jacob Whitley, who's going to have a chance to, you know, do some catching for us and help our offense. Another grad transfer from UNC Asheville that's done a really good job for us to this point, Trey Jernigan. You know, both of those guys, you know, this is my first time that I've ever gotten a grad transfer in my coaching career, which I think is going to probably become a little bit more common with some extra COVID years for some different guys. Both of those guys have just kind of brought a ton of maturity to what we've been doing. They've walked in and kind of made themselves at home, and you know, both have very good work ethics, and have added a ton of experience and maturity to our program, which I think we've got a group of guys that have played together for a while in kind of our core. So for those guys to come in and kind of fit themselves right into what we're doing has been a really exciting thing to watch.
Before we shift over and talk about some of the returning talent, guys like Luke Drumheller, just talk about the transfer portal in general terms. You made me think there, just in terms of, you know, guys that you want them to be a fit for your program. You don't want to bring in a guy who's going to disrupt the culture, obviously. So just talk about how that's a delicate balance, and you know, and trying to identify guys that are fit there at App State.
Yeah, I really don't think anything changes as far as, you know, what you're looking for and the type of person that you're looking to bring in. So it's you know, whether you're talking about somebody from the transfer portal or you're talking about somebody from the junior college ranks or a high school kid, nothing changes in that. So you're still looking for somebody who's going to take care of their business in the classroom. You're looking for somebody who's going to, you know, fit the way that you do it, you know, a good person that's, you know, going to be, you know, servant minded. And then you're obviously looking for a really good baseball player. So whether that comes from the high school ranks or the junior college ranks or the portal ranks, that's not going to change. So those standards will still remain the same.
Coach, I mentioned Luke Drumheller, so let's start there. And then, you know, just talk about Luke and then take us around the infield and talk about who's going to be fitting in where.
Yeah, I think some of those things are still kind of being figured out. But, you know, it's nice to have a returning all-conference player, you know, coming in and, you know, going to have a chance to hit at the top of your lineup and kind of lock down second base, which he's done since he's been here. And Luke, you know, he provides, you know, a lot of stability, a lot of comfort, does a good job turning double play, does a good job on the routine play, brings a good sense of energy to the defensive side of the baseball, which is really important to us. You know, got a new guy, Alex Aguilla, is kind of trying to fit in at shortstop, battling it out over there. And then we've got Andrew Terrell, who finished the year at third base for us last year, did a really good job over there. He's in between shortstop and third base, kind of competing at both of those positions. Andrew Greckel's back and healthy, so he'll be competing third base, outfield, and that arena there. You know, a couple of guys over at first base, we're still competing and trying to kind of figure that a spot out. You know, the guy we just got through talking about from ECU, Austin St. Laurent, he can really play anywhere on the field. So he's kind of mixing in at first, short, third base, even some second base. Alex Reed, junior college transfer, is battling at first base. Vasily Kaloudis is battling at first base. So it's really – there's a lot of moving parts. So to start with Luke is good because I think he's – you know, he's there's some consistency there. But, you know, Luke could jump over to shortstop just as easy. So it's been kind of fun watching those guys get out there and compete every day. And January, specifically starting next weekend, is going to be a lot of fun to watch those guys get out and kind of solidify where each guy's going to be in terms of, you know, not only the position, but the lineup as well.
Take us around the outfield. You know, who do you have out there, and you know, who do you expect key contributions from in the outfield?
Yeah, I just mentioned Andrew Greckel, who was a big miss for us last year. We kind of walked into January thinking that he was, you know, if not our best offensive player, you know, one of the top offensive players on our team, had a really good shortened COVID year, and had a nagging hamstring early, got hit with a pitch, broke his wrist, and was just not able to come back and solidify himself at all for really getting into any kind of rhythm last year, but finally got healthy over the summer. So, you know, he'll continue to work at third base like I talked about, but he can play any outfield spot, center, right, or left. But I would think that he would, you know, find his place into somewhere in one of those four positions. And then we've got a freshman that's done a really good job for us since he's been here, RJ Johnson in center field. And he's gonna have a chance to play out there quite a bit for us. Does a good job athletically, does a good job defensively, does a good job offensively, and he's just had a really good fall, and it's just one of our hardest workers. Just kind of come in and just kind of fit into that Drumheller mold. Those guys that spend a lot of time in the batting cage, Andrew Terrell, Andrew Greckel, those guys, and it's just kind of cemented his spot in terms of how he's come in and worked and progressed since he's been here. So expect to see him in center field quite a bit this year. I mentioned Dylan Rogers. I think that he's going to have a chance to fit in somewhere. Hunter Bryson, who redshirted for us last year, a big, strong right-handed hitter out of a really good high school program. And then Philip Cole, who's just kind of always factored in out there. And he'll do probably a little bit more pitching than he's done in the past. But he's going to be a name that's competing for a spot out there. Dalton Williams is a guy that's, you know, year after year, always provided just a little bit of offense for us. And the left-handed hitter has always kind of factored in DH, outfield, pinch hitting role. So he'll continue to be competing for a spot out there as well.
Let's shift over and talk about your pitching staff. You're very blessed to have a couple of tremendous lefties in Tyler Tuthill and Eli Ellington. So if you would, you know, start off with Tuthill. One of the numbers that really jumped out to me about Tyler is in 89 in the third inning pitched a season ago, he allowed just 52 hits.
Yeah, same thing I said about Drum. It's nice to have an all-conference guy returning kind of at the forefront of, you know, your rotation. Number one, just an extremely hard worker, really obsessed with being great. That's one thing that just really pops off with Tyler. You know, and it's funny that you kind of see all of these, you know, All-American teams and players to watch and different things like this that kind of come up off across the country. You know, it's hard to think that a guy with, you know, 89 in the third, like you said, and the opponent's batting average of 174. It's pretty impressive. But to think that he's not getting a little bit more recognition for the season he had a year ago, pitching Friday nights every weekend in the Sun Belt, all conference, and just a tremendous competitor, tremendous player. Kind of sets the tone for our weekend. We know what we're going to get when we walk out there on Fridays. Eli Ellington, right behind him, has been a guy that came on the scene last year and just had a tremendous year. Some of the innings that he pitched were just really, really big for our program last year. He's worked really hard over the summer, worked really hard over the fall, worked really hard coming out of Christmas break to, you know, continue to be what he was last year and even improve on it a tick. He's really driven to be a great player. And, you know, I mentioned, you know, Xander Hamilton transferred from Virginia Tech. I think he's going to help factor into helping us be what we're going to be. And Jason Kornatzer he's worked so hard this fall and Christmas to be what he's capable of being. And you've seen that in the past, you know, he'll have an outing here and he'll have an outing there where you're just like, wow, man, that kid's really talented, really good. And, you know, he's really worked hard over the last year to put himself in a position to, you know, come back for his COVID year, come back for his fifth year and, you know, make sure he cements his place as, you know, one of the best pitchers that's ever pitched here. So really, really proud of how he's worked. And I think he's got a chance to, you know, have a year that he's really, really proud of.
Who are some of the other guys you can factor in out of the bullpen? And just talk about your staff as a whole in terms of depth.
You know, I think a lot of that stuff is, you know, stuff that's going to take care of itself in January and February, you know, to go into it, go top to bottom on our staff. I think, you know, we kind of talked about the main ones. You know, Cy Smith is another one of those guys that's pitched some big innings for us in his career. What comes out of his hand is really, really special. So we're excited to, you know, watch his progression coming into it. You know, you forget about, you know, we mentioned it earlier, just kind of coming off of COVID 2 years ago. You forget about the, you know, the time there that wasn't spent pitching for a lot of these guys. So you start to look at, you know, developmental time and time that they have on the baseball field and competing against other hitters. You know, Cy was one of those guys that basically missed, you know, half of his freshman year, which he was really dominant that year. Missed half a year of development there that I think he's got a chance to be really, really as good as he wants to be. So, you know, it's going to be fun to watch that progression. Trey Tuich was a guy last year that, you know, pitched some really big innings for us, and you look cumulatively at his numbers, and you're not impressed. But when you look at, you know, some of the outings that he had, that he was able to eat up a lot of innings for us and improve. You know, again, another COVID guy whose freshman year at South Carolina was cut short, was having a good year, came into last year and kind of had to pick up some big relief roles early and then kind of settled into a starting role late as we went throughout our year. Had a really big outing for us at Little Rock last year that really solidified a big win, series win for us coming down the stretch of the year. But he's a guy that has worked extremely hard, committed himself in the weight room and put himself in a position to, you know, continue to compete. But going to be a lot of new faces kind of coming out of the pen there that we're excited about seeing kind of who solidifies himself as one of those guys for us.
Let's shift over and talk about the schedule. Start things off on the 18th of February against Campbell. Campbell was in a regional championship a season ago down at Mississippi State, and then you also have a quality program, that's a perennial NCAA tournament team like UNC Wilmington coming to Boone for a three-game set.
Yeah, I love our schedule. We've always been, as you know, very committed to playing a very competitive schedule in hopes that it prepares us to be the team that we want to be. And the reason that we work as hard as we do is we want to be one of those teams that you're talking about to another coach and saying, "Hey, I see you got Appalachian State on the schedule. They're, you know, a regional finalist, or they're a perennial, you know, NCAA tournament team." So that's the motivation behind what we do. We do what we do so that we can be playing in the postseason. So our schedule should reflect that same thing. So yeah, we're excited about going down to Campbell. Excited about, you know, UNC Wilmington, excited about UNCG, excited about Charlotte. I think Duke's our first midweek. You know, excited about our whole schedule. So, you know, I think our pre-conference scheduling will have us prepared to walk into the conference and you know, be battle tested, and that's something that we always want to be as well. So yeah, just really excited about what the schedule lines up for us to be able to do. And we just got to go out and do what we're capable of.
Something else, I know a season ago I had the chance to watch your team play against Charlotte at the new ballpark, Atrium Health Ballpark here in Kannapolis. And taking a look at this year's schedule, and I know you'll have a chance to play in some minor league parks, which is a neat opportunity for your players as well.
Yeah, we'll actually be back down there. We're going to play Davidson there, and then we're playing down at Hickory, the Crawdad Stadium, which will be a really, really great thing for our university and our program. And then we'll be in Charlotte. We're hosting South Carolina down there, so yeah, have a chance to get out and see, you know, a couple of pro ballparks, and excited about that, you know. So really excited.
And talk about the always challenging Sun Belt Conference, but talk about it in a couple of respects. One, on what you're currently facing this year, and then just take a look into the future. And with a program like Southern Miss and other very talented and successful historically baseball programs.
Yeah, you got Marshall, you got Old Dominion, you got JMU, you got Southern Miss, and It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, that's why you do this, is you want to be in, you know, the best league that you can possibly be. And I think that's going to put us in a position to be able to compete recruiting wise with the best players in the country, and, you know, bring them to, you know, not only a university and a facility that's, you know, top of the line, but also a conference that's going to rival any conference in the country. So extremely, extremely excited about that and the opportunities that those bring. And the national exposure that it'll continue to bring to the Sun Belt.
Final thing for you, Coach. You know, in recent seasons, it seems as though your program's progressing to a point where those games that maybe you're expected to win, or games that are kind of, let's say, 50-50 games, you're definitely taking care of business. You've pulled some upsets, if you will. But those games against Quadrant One competition, you talk about the likes of Miami, East Carolina, South Carolina, and so on and so forth. Very competitive in many of those games, but talk about what needs to happen in order to get over that hump and win some of those games.
I think the consistent thing is we've got to score more runs. If you look back on, you know, just the trajectory of, you know, if we wanted to talk about all 6 years or all 5 years that we've been here, I think the offensive side of the baseball, when we do a walkout, we've been very consistent defensively, I feel like, over the years that we've been here. And that's always – that's why you're saying what you're saying, is we are competitive in those games. So, you know, I think when we get out and we get that outing and, you know, we play the defense that we've been playing, we've got to be able to put a couple more runs on the board to give us a chance to do that. You look at the Wake Forest game and the COVID shortened year, we were able to put up some runs in that game, and we had a good stopper there and Jack Hartman that was able to, you know, finish that off. But, you know, I think it comes from the offensive side, is we've got to be a little bit more offensive. We've got to be able to put up a few more runs when we're in position to win those baseball games.
Coach, we certainly appreciate your time this morning. Best of luck in 2022, and we look forward to having you back.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Tuning in whenever and however you're watching or listening, whether it's Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. And remember, our show can always be found pretty much anywhere podcasts are found, including but not limited to Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and Spotify. We're just over 3 weeks away from opening day, actually 3 weeks from today. And right now, very excited to be joined on our NCD1 baseball preview by the head coach of UNC Wilmington, Randy Hood. Coach, we appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, Bo. Thanks for having me. I always look forward to this.
Absolutely. Always great to catch up and talk some college baseball. Take us back to last season. Your ball club, I think, finished 32-22, a solid year, and some absolute heartbreak in that CAA tournament.
Yeah, we had a really good team, a good roster. You know, got started pretty well, had a little lull in the middle where we lost a lot of really tight games, games that could have gone either way. I think when it was all said and done, I think we lost around 7 or 8 one-run ball games, about 3 or 4 of them in extra innings. And, you know, those tight games, when it's all said and done, have a, you know, effect on the overall record. You could obviously look at it and, you know, we said we won 32. We could have easily been in that 38, 39 range if we, you know, just a few plays would have bounced our way or things like that. But overall, a good season. We ended up, you know, winning 8 of our 9 last conference games to win the CA South, and went into the CA tournament as the number 2 seed. And got into the driver's seat here in Wilmington and really just had to win one game to win the CA title and go to our 11th regional. And, you know, it came down to us and Northeastern, who was the number 1 seed, the way it should be. And 2 unbelievable games. We beat them first time to go to the, you know, winner bracket 2-0 situation. And then they came back and beat us 7-5. To force a deciding game, and then a 10 inning, extra inning, 11-10 walk-off homer. Like you said, heartbreak. We were basically about one pitch away for a couple innings to winning it all. And I thought our guys played great all season. We had a lot of, you know, very positive things happen. And, you know, it's just another learning experience for this program. We've been so close. You know, like I mentioned earlier, we've, you know, been in 6 straight conference championship finals. We've been to 10 regionals, and we've been knocking on the door for a long time to kind of bust through and get through that first regional. And just experiences like last year and having a lot of those guys come back, I think is only going to help us get better and be able to handle those moments as we go throughout the next season and moving forward.
Looking toward this season, I know back in mid-December, so a little over a month ago now, you had the opportunity to add a couple pieces to your staff. One is a Seahawk. He played for you guys from 2013 to 2017. Heck of a career, and got drafted. Spent a couple years in the Diamondbacks organization. And then also a guy who's no stranger to the eastern part of the state, the all-time winningest pitcher at East Carolina, Seth Maness.
Yeah, we, you know, a lot of things kind of, you know, shook up a little bit in our coaching staff over kind of the end of the summer going into the fall. Our pitching coach, Matt Myers, who'd been with us for 3 years, resigned to go back closer to home to be with his family. There were some, you know, things he just felt like he had to take care of, and now he's actually just got a job with Lipscomb, which I'm happy for. But, you know, it allowed us to, you know, elevate Kelly Seacrest, who was our volunteer coach, into the pitching coach role, who I think is going to be one of the, you know, top pitching coaches in the country when it's all said and done. Big all-time appearance leader for us, and I'm just happy that he's got that opportunity. But it opened up the volunteer spot when it was all said and done, and we kind of went through the fall just I didn't want to kind of change things up in the middle of things, so I figured once we got done with the fall, we would, you know, find the right people to fill the spots. But, you know, Terrence was a guy that, you know, a great player for us 2013 to 17 and, you know, has a lot of records still, but just a tough grinder, gritty guy that knows the game the right way, plays it the right way, and is going to be an excellent coach. But I brought him on as the volunteer. And then, you know, just had a lot of, you know, people reach out to me in the past about Seth Maness, and I've known Seth for a long time. We actually recruited him back in the days when he was in high school at Pinecrest. And then, you know, obviously saw the career that he had at East Carolina and the pro career that he's had pitching in the big leagues for over 4 years, pitching in World Series with the Cardinals. And, you know, he's at a point in his life, he's looking to, you know, try to stay in the game, and college is the kind of level he'd like to be at. And, you know, I really haven't had a position like director of player development, but I was able to talk to our administration, talk to Seth, see if it's something he's interested in, and, you know, to get into college coaching and being here in Wilmington, living here with his fiance, just a plus for us. I mean, you can't find a guy that I feel like, one, has had the experience at all levels, and also a guy that is just really a good guy and going to be a great mentor and a person that, you know, helps our staff continue to grow and help our players grow. And I'm just really excited to have the staff that I do, but adding Terrence and adding Seth here at December was big additions for our program.
Yeah, and one of the things about Seth, obviously, like you mentioned, a tremendous pitcher, both at East Carolina and then in the Cardinals organization, as well as some other pro opportunities, but But Seth, yes, he had tremendous stuff, but he didn't have that overpowering stuff. He was very much, a lot of times I thought of him kind of like a Greg Maddux.
Yeah, he, you know, I didn't get to see him pitch a lot because obviously he pitched on the weekends for East Carolina, and we didn't, you know, play him on the weekends. We played him midweek, but you kind of follow things. You know, I think he's still the all-time wins leader there when it's all said and done, unless somebody's passed him. But unbelievable career. I think a four-time all-conference selection. An All-American, you know, draft pick. And then, like I said, I mean, when it's all said and done, the guy pitched in the big leagues at the highest level for about four seasons and pitched in the World Series and, you know, around a lot of big-time players. So the experiences that he has had at all levels of baseball can only help when he, you know, is around our guys, around our program. And, you know, I'm an everyday learner, and if I can pick the brain of our coaching staff and our players, you know, we're here to learn every day. And I think he just brings a lot to the table to helping us improve as a program.
Before we talk about what you brought in, let's talk about what you return. I mean, start with your infielders, and you know, let's go around the horn, you know, positionally. And I mean, tell us what you can about where things stand here 3 weeks before first pitch.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at our team from a position player standpoint, you know, we really only lost two everyday players. That was Cole Weiss, who's just an unbelievable college player and had a great career here for us. And, you know, just solid, as good as third baseman as you're going to have in college baseball. You knew when the ball was hit there, he's going to make plays. He's going to get big hits for you. And then we lost the other side of the corner. We lost Kip Brandenburg, who came here from Carolina as a transfer and ended up having, you know, a solid 2 years here and was really good last year. I think he ended up at some point in the season had a 21-game hitting streak. But those are the really two players that we lost position player-wise. So, got a lot returning, you know, at second base. And I'll just say infield-wise, you know, you got Jack Kroom. We've got Kevin Patera back. We've got Tabor Mongero, who plays an unbelievable shortstop. Brooks Baldwin, who is in his fourth year here. And if you think about where he's been at, he started as a freshman at first base. His sophomore year was the COVID year where we only played 16 games, but he was our starting shortstop for 16 straight games and was great there. Last year, we moved him to right field and he played the majority of his games out there. And now, you know, I think he's going to end up being either at second or third, or can just still do a lot of things for us. I mean, just a table setter with the bat, but drafted in the 15th round last year and decided to come back and get better and improve and hopefully take us to another level here. But having him back is a huge plus. And then obviously, you know, you've got guys like Ron Evans, who I think is going to take a big step for us. And, you know, he's a corner guy, a big physical hitter. And we got a transfer in from Pembroke, Ethan Balcom, who I think is going to really solidify the middle of our order as a power hitter and play at solid first base. And, you know, that's kind of infield-wise who we got back and who we're expecting. So, you know, it's nice to have Mongero, Baldwin, Kroom, Patera, Evans, those all guys back in the mix of things.
Well, let's shift out to the outfielders and, you know, tell us what you return and then also maybe what you have coming in that may be able to see some early playing time.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much our three starters out there besides Baldwin, which I told you we're going to probably move him back to the infield more. But you got Dylan LeFerry, you got Noah Bridges, and you got Trevor Marsh, who are the three main returners. Chris Thorburn is back. Chris was a starter on the 2019 championship team, so you got experience there. Chris has been an unbelievable come-off-the-bench kind of player for us, great pinch hitter, fill in at different times, just really solid left-handed bat. But, you know, with Bridges in center and Marsh and LeFerry on the corners, you got guys right there with over 35, 40 starts last year. Really, you know, guys that I think going to really take the next step for us. And then, you know, we got a freshman, John Newton, who I could see getting in the lineup a lot, and he's going to have a chance to really do damage with the bat over his career. Going to be a really good hitter for us, and so I feel like at some point he'll have a chance to kind of get some playing time and see what he can do.
In general terms, and if you would tell us about your pitching staff, and then where does the weekend rotation stand here as we're 3 weeks from first pitching?
Yeah, we're we're still 3 weeks. There's a lot of moving parts. It's probably one of our I wouldn't say we've got a lot of great arms, but a lot of inexperience. Let's just put it that way. Before I jump into the arms, I don't want to forget our catchers. We got all-conference player Matt Suggs, who's one of the top catchers in the country, back. Kevin Patera, who I mentioned as a utility-type player that can play second, third. He's also one of our top catchers as well. And then a freshman we got in that I think is going to be a really good player, Brian Arndt. So he will see a decent amount of time back there. But from a pitching staff standpoint, like I said, when you lose your three weekend starters, Landon Root drafted by the Giants, Adam Smith drafted by the Padres, and then Luke Giselle, who just had an unbelievable career here, you got a lot of innings, you got a lot of opportunity available. I'm not concerned about who we put out there. I know we've got a lot of talent, just like I mentioned earlier, just all inexperienced, not a lot of people that have been in the moment. So, we've got a group of guys right now, probably about six or seven guys that will run out there in the next three weekends. And we got a good idea who potentially will be those three and four main starters. But, you got your Jacob Schaefer, sophomore, Ethan Chenault, sophomore, Matt Gaither, a sophomore transfer lefty end that I think will be in the mix. Brett Banks, a transfer from Catawba Valley, who's got huge potential. And then you got a couple freshmen like Marty Gare, RJ Sells, Zane Taylor, Kyle Phelan. All six or seven of those guys have a chance to be, those three or four main starters. And the ones that don't fit that will definitely go right to the bullpen. And, if we have to change things up as the year progresses, we will, but just feel really good with the arms we have. And that's kind of just from a starting standpoint. And I feel like we've got a really good bullpen as well.
Tell us about some of those guys that you, have that are proven commodities out of bullpen.
Well, first one you got to go to is Hunter Hodges. He's a New Hanover High School grad. As a freshman last year, we threw him into the mix and just unbelievable slider, just competitor. He was first team all conference as a reliever last year. We probably got to the point at the back end where we were using him too much, and that's maybe why he went from looking like his stats were unhittable to having, and I think he ended up with right around a 4 ERA, but just innings pitch and strikeouts, a lot of strikeouts, and very rarely guys getting hits off of him. But you got him. You've got, Jason Hudak. You got the Benton brothers back, Cody and Cole. And then you got Luke Craig, who I think is going to make a huge jump for us just a role standpoint. Didn't pitch a lot as a freshman last year, but works his tail off, had a good summer, and has a chance to be a dominant lefty in the back of the bullpen for us when it's all said and done. And just like I mentioned, several of those guys that I have right now working as starters, three or four of them will probably slide to the bullpen when it's all said and done. So feel really good about the depth of our arms. A lot of good stuff, a lot of different options, a lot of lefty righty combinations. So we can mix and match it as good as anybody, and just got to get them out there, get their feet wet, and see where everybody fits.
You've obviously referenced some of these guys, but talk about in general terms, and how many new pieces do you have to your roster, and how many from the high school ranks as well as transfers?
Yeah, I think when it's all said and done, we've got and again, we're still dealing with a little larger roster than what you would typically have, but on COVID and that has kind of allowed college baseball to take in a little bit more and handle a little bit more from a roster standpoint over the last couple of years. But I think we've got 25 letter winners returning, and we got 18 newcomers. When it's all said and done, we're right there at the 40-man roster as we start in 3 weeks. And, I think out of those newcomers, I want to say 11 or 12 are freshmen, and then about five or six junior college transfers. And then we've got, like I mentioned, Ethan Balcom, who's a who graduated from Pembroke and is their all-time home runs leader, and then Matt Gaither, who came from a Division III school.
Taking a look at your schedule, one of the great things about being located where you are is being able to play a lot of home games, 34 home games, including 8 straight to start the season. You have some programs like St. John's and also Rutgers in Illinois out of the Big Ten coming in.
Yeah, it's another challenging schedule. I contemplate every year is how many we want to play at home, how many we want to get on the road. It seems like more and more that from an RPI standpoint, the more games you can play on the road and win solid games probably helps your RPI as much as possible. But, I like playing at home. Everybody likes playing at home. We have a home field advantage here that I just feel like, I think we were 27-9 at home last year, and I think we were 5-13 on the road. So one thing that I've talked to our team about since the end of last year is we've got to do better on the road. I don't think we do anything crazy as far as preparation. I just think we've got to play better when we get on the road, and because road wins mean a lot more in the RPI than a home win when it's all said and done, the way they factor things. So but, yeah, we got a great schedule. We open up with a 4-game weekend with Middle Tennessee State and St. John's, 2 really good programs, one out of Conference USA and the other out of the Big East. And, St. John's is a history of being one of the best northern teams out there. I know they'll be ready to go. And then the second weekend, we're hosting the Carolina Coastlines Classic with Coastal Carolina. And we're basically bringing in Rutgers, Illinois, Middle Tennessee State, and Ball State. And we will play Ball State, Rutgers, and Illinois here in Wilmington on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So that'll be a great weekend for us against some very quality competition. We'll return a trip to App State the 1st of March, which I'm just hoping that it's not crazy cold in Boone. But I told Kermit that, he came down here a couple times over the last few years. And I said, we'll go back and return that trip at some point. And it just worked out that was the best weekend this year. I wanted to go ahead and get it done. And, I told our team, we went to Kentucky a couple years ago and it was as cold as I've ever been the 1st of March. So I know Boone could be cold, but, I feel like whatever it is, we'll be ready to handle it. And we'll go up there and play. That'll be our first road trip. Come back, play Kennesaw State the 4th weekend, and then we've got a pretty much a full week of Ohio State. They're coming down, spending Tuesday through Sunday in Wilmington and play us on Wednesday, and then a weekend series. So that'll be great against a very quality upper-end Big Ten opponent.
And yeah, that was something that really jumped out, that 4-game series with Ohio State with the off day on Thursday.
Yeah, they're going to come in. I mean, it's talk to Coach Bills, and they're going to come in on Tuesday and practice and then play us Wednesday. And then I'm letting them, stay here and practice Thursday, and then we'll play them on the weekend. But, I think sometimes you just got to be, you got to do different things in college baseball to help people out and do things that kind of work your schedule. And to get a quality opponent like that and to keep his spring break travel a little bit different. He was fine and wanted to do something like that. And we're going to return a trip to Columbus, Ohio in 2024 and go up there and play them. And so it works out for all of us. And again, it'll be a good week of baseball against a quality opponent. And, after that, we jump into our conference schedule, and it'll be a challenging schedule as well. And, all our midweeks, which, are scattered throughout the year. You got home and homes with East Carolina, Coastal Carolina, NC State, North Carolina, and Campbell. So there's nothing easy at playing any of those teams.
Yeah, like you're saying, going back very quickly to the Ohio State situation, it makes a lot of sense, even though it's very unusual. You see teams go 2 or 3 places a lot of times over spring break like that. You save on costs there, but then you also, maximize your field time to have those practices that you referenced to get better.
Yeah. I mean, probably I don't know if everyone would do what we do, but, I'm a college baseball fan. I'm a baseball person. And if they want to come in and work out and practice a couple days and play us for 4 and it's a good opponent, and we're going to turn around and they give us the same, you know, kind of hospitality in a couple years, you know, I'm all for that. And like I said, it just makes sense. And, you know, just looking forward to that. That'll be a good week of baseball for our program and theirs.
No doubt about it. And Coach, really appreciate you being so generous with your time this morning as we're three weeks away from the season. And we definitely look forward to having you back on throughout 2022.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it, and I appreciate having me on and all that you do for college baseball. I know you kind of lean towards East Carolina, but that's okay. Yeah. I mean, I understand, but the great program they have, and I'm looking forward to our midweek games with those guys again. But, yeah, we get on the field today, first team practice, getting ready to scrimmage in a couple hours, so I'm excited and just looking forward to the season and seeing where we where this whole journey of 2022 takes us.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Coach.
Thanks, Bob.
Welcome into the Sports Objective. We appreciate everyone tuning in, however you're watching or listening, whether it's on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter, or, of course, audio only, pretty much anywhere podcasts are found, including but not limited to Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and Spotify. It is game week, and we're here, you know, 3 days from first pitch, and very excited right now on our NCD1 baseball preview. Last but certainly not least, the head coach of the Western Carolina Catamounts. Glad to have this guy back on the program, Bobby Miranda. Coach, how are things up in Cullowhee this morning?
Great. Beautiful day. Just out on the field. It's absolutely gorgeous. I think we're going to be like high 50s today, so that's good. We'll take it.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, a lot of very long tenures around the state of North Carolina, you being one of those at your current school there, Western Carolina, so much baseball tradition, as we had East Carolina know because of Keith LeClaire, of course, and you know, we know Coach LeClaire is held in such high regard throughout the college baseball community, and obviously there to his alma mater. But you know, Coach, a season ago, 28-21, pretty solid year, and a step back in the direction where you want the program to go.
Well, I mean, we had a really good year going, and then, you know, our entire starting rotation went down. That was a little bit of an adjustment. I think we lost like 9 of 11 right when that happened, and then we had some relievers really step up at the end of the season and made a run, you know, the last weekend of the last couple weekends, I guess, of the conference regular season, and then into the tournament, you know, where we lost on Championship Sunday. So yeah, we feel like you know, we have like, I guess, 93% of our guys back, and you know, we feel good about our club.
If you would, you know, just going into this season, let's start off. Let's take a look at things, beginning with the infield, and you know, what returns, you know, what may be coming in that has a chance to play early.
Well, I think our infield starts with Pass. I mean, our shortstop, Pass Ferreras. I mean, Pass Cannell is a very special player. You know, he was a freshman All-American last year. He led our league in home runs and RBIs as a freshman in the regular season. 16 home runs, I think like 59 RBIs, something like that. And you know, just a special player. Played in the Cape this past summer. Yeah, I think he's preseason player of the year in our league. and he's got a chance to be a very, very special player coming out of our program, you know, for many years to remember. So it starts with pass. And then, you know, I would say, you know, Will Prater, being a fifth year senior, COVID senior, hit 400, over 400 in the regular season last year, which is very, very difficult to do. Leads off for us, plays second, started, you know, gosh, he's, you know, every year he's been here out of Atlanta, and really good player. And then, you know, you've got Zach Ketterman at third base, who started as a freshman for us. We really feel like he's going to be coming on offensively, phenomenal defensive player, but offensively, I feel like he's going to really step up. And then at first base, you know, we have Daniel Walsh, who is hurt right now. He's got a hamate that he broke a few weeks ago. So he's out for about the first, you know, 5 weeks of the season. And then, of course, we have Drew Needham, who was a freshman last year, does a nice job for us, no doubt, and going to be a big factor for us. And then James Henson, who is a junior college player that was an All-American in junior college last year, that is here, and he's a local kid from Smoky Mountain High School, and he's going to be a big factor there at first base also. So we feel really good about it. And, you know, we lost a big bat in Luke Robinson, who graduated in the infield, but the rest of those guys are back, and then the addition of James.
Shifting out to the outfield, what returns and what do you have coming in that could see a significant role?
So we have some seniors returning. You know, Seth Graves, you know, played for us every day pretty much last year, hit over 300. I mean, he's a junior college All-American a couple of years ago before COVID or whatever, and then he's been here for like 3 years now. So experienced guy. He'll be playing left, center, right. He plays all over the place, switch hitter. Bryson Parks is a fifth-year senior who's played a lot for us. He's had some injuries. First half of the season, he hurt his shoulder diving for a ball and really didn't get to play until the end of the year and really played well the last probably 3-4 weeks of the season. So we're excited to have him back. Dynamic center field, dynamic athlete out of Atlanta also. And then we'll have some new faces. I mean, you know, Stowe, Big Stowe, we call him Stokum. He is going to be probably playing right field and hitting somewhere in the middle of our order. He, you know, Nate is an excellent player. He's a freshman last year out of Raleigh, North Carolina, left-hand hitter with power. Probably hit somewhere 3-4-5 for us. You know, and then we've got some players out there. You know, Wilder is also a fifth-year senior who plays, you know, he'll play a lot for sure. And we got some freshmen, CJ Rector. I mean, we've got Jordan Starks, who's a junior college transfer, also will be a big factor. So, you know, there's some options out there, but there's some veterans that'll be back and then some younger guys we need to step up.
Obviously, you know, pitching depth is something that it's always such a big issue, but I mean, just in college baseball in general, but you know, with a 4-game weekend, week one, just talk about your pitching depth and specifically, let's start off with your rotation.
So that all starts with Zebby Matthews for me. Zebby was our number one and probably, and I'm not speaking out of line here, would have been the pitcher of the year in our league. I mean, he was running up numbers that were outstanding, and then he got hurt at UNC Greensboro and did not finish the last, I think, month and a half of the season. So, you know, having him back, having him healthy, and he is throwing very well right now. He's healthy. That's the top of the rotation. I mean, he went to the Junior College World Series at Walter State. I was one of their top pitchers there. And then, you know, he's from Smoky Mountain High School, another local product. So from Cullowhee, grew up in Cullowhee. So we're excited about him being back at the top of our rotation. And then Eric Wallington is a left-handed pitcher. It's been here for a while. He's had, you know, an up and down career, but we feel like he's on the right track. Threw really well against Louisville and Georgia this fall, started both those games. He's a 6'6" lefty. Really talented kid, won a state championship in high school at TC, you know, in Asheville. So, I mean, he's been there, he's done that, but he, you know, at this level, he's wanting to make a name for himself, and he, you know, it's all there. And I feel like he's going to this year. I'm very excited about where he's at. We have a freshman, Lucas Hartman out of Florida, big recruit that we feel like is going to be in our rotation as our three. Very excited about him. very, very, very competitive pitcher there. And then Gavin Mortensen, he was our Saturday guy last year as a freshman. He broke his arm and did not play basically for the entire, last two-thirds of the season. Came back in the tournament, but he was out for a while. Took a line drive off a bone, broke his arm. He was throwing really well for us before that. So he's back as a sophomore. So that's our four, I would say, right now. And then we'll kind of go from there, maybe with, you know, a freshman named Davis Mortland midweek. And those are probably our five guys, and then a bunch of guys in the middle. I would like to talk about our bullpen arm. We have Zach Franklin, who's been here for a long time, probably should be playing pro ball, running some serious velocity up there, you know, with the whole new COVID draft and all that. It's shocking that he's still here. He's graduated college, but, you know, he's back. He's very, very talented. He's been, you know, 95 to 98 in the preseason. I mean, what can I say? He's just a very good pitcher. He's had a good career for us, and looking for great things out of him too.
Otherwise, you know, how do you see some of those? You mentioned the group as a whole, but, you know, who are some other names that we may see here early on?
Well, yeah, I think a couple sophomores have really, really taken it to another level. A kid named Nick Hyde is throwing the ball really well for us and will throw out of the bullpen for us. Carson Lauder is throwing the ball really well for us as a sophomore. And these guys, you know, they had roles last year, but it wasn't, you know, as powerful a role as it's going to be this year. Those guys, Dawson Elder's thrown really well out of the pen also. You know, we feel like we have some depth there in the pen where, you know, there's some guys, you know, we can go. Of course, you know, with a very, very veteran, two guys I have to mention for sure. Jacob Korn, he's a fifth year COVID senior. He's thrown a lot for us. We use him as a flex guy in the middle. I mean, he starts some games. He's an opener. He'll close games. He just kind of does it all for us over his career. Same thing with Tristan Campbell. I mean, he does a lot of things for us. Starts, relieves. You know, they'll throw four or five innings at a point. They're just very, very tough competitors, and they'll be big, big factors in our bullpen. But we feel like we can get deep into it. We do have a freshman out of Florida that's been throwing really well here lately, John McCormick. I've really been impressed with him. He's a 6'6 lefty out of Southern Florida. He's been really talented. I mean, up to 92, throwing the ball very well here lately. Did not have a strong fall, but has had a very strong preseason. So we're excited about him. And we feel like, Bubba, you know, the thing with Western is – this NC promise that we have going right now, we have, you know, in-state tuition's $1,000, out-of-state tuition's $5,000. So it's our little thing we got going right now where we can really get some pitching in here. And that's something that, you know, we've been, you know, a focus on. Say, hey, we've got the money now. We've got the scholarship money. So we want to spend a lot of it on pitching. And we've done that in the last couple of years. This just kicked in 2 years ago.
Yeah, no doubt. That's something that's you mentioned that unique aspect of Western Carolina, and that's something a lot of people that probably don't realize that can definitely be a benefit to you.
It's interesting. I mean, out of state full situation. Let's say you're paying for everything out of pocket is, you know, it's over $30,000, and now it's, you know, around $18,000. So that is you know, with tuition only being $5,000 of that, which is unbelievable. So we've taken advantage of it. We've brought in some very good talent on the mound, and you know, we feel like that's a difference maker potentially for us. You know, it's a great opportunity.
Taking a look at your schedule, a few minutes ago I mentioned Niagara coming in this weekend, supposed to play four games, and then you also have Illinois State. I know that's a very proud program that's had a lot of success out there in the Midwest, and then Stony Brook, you'll never forget that run they had several years ago where they went to Omaha, winning that Super Regional down at Baton Rouge and LSU.
Absolutely. I feel like we have three solid weeks of opponents coming in here that'll get us ready for our conference, you know, later in the year and test us, and it's, you know, exciting. my former player from Georgia Tech, Wally Crancer, is the associate head coach up there at Illinois State. And, you know, he was coaching at Purdue. He came down. Now he's coming down again when he's at Illinois State. So excited to see Wally. And then, you know, obviously their program, they know what they're doing. They do a good job. They've been to many regionals and stuff like that. And then, of course, Stony Brook. I've never played Stony Brook, but I've heard unbelievable things from good friends of mine, you know, at St. John's. We played them a lot, and they always talk about how great Stony Brook is. And of course, Joe Panucci at East Tennessee State's a good friend of mine. And, you know, Joe did a heck of a job over there when they went to Omaha. Now he's the head coach in our league. So, great respect for their program. Excited to see their brand of baseball and have them down here in the Wii.
And another series I failed to mention that really stands out. They've struggled the last year or two, but very proud program, so much success, and that's the Houston Cougars going out there to play three against them.
Yeah, I fully expect them to be back, you know, in that top, you know, that nationally ranked situation. I mean, they have a lot of talent down there to recruit from, and, you know, the great state of Texas it produced some pretty good baseball players for sure. So we're excited about going down there. Their facilities are outstanding, and, you know, it should be a fun trip.
And tell us about the league. Obviously, always so strong, with the likes of Samford and a lot of quality programs.
Yeah, I think our league, you know, I was 18 years in the ACC, and you know, this league is, for me, is underrated. I mean, it's just a tough league. It's very, very competitive. A lot of people putting money into programs, and, you know, if you look year in and year out, this league will go places and play people, you know, that are very, very, have very good programs, and they'll, you know, be very competitive or win series or stuff like that. So, I mean, our league is, it, you know, top to bottom is a dogfight. It's a dogfight. You know, I was looking at the standings, I think, where they're projecting. I mean, Wofford, you know, they're doing an unbelievable job. Todd runs a great program over there. You know, of course, Mercer, you know, you mentioned Samford. I mean, Billy over there, you know, obviously is an unbelievable baseball man at UNC Greensboro and East Tennessee State and Citadel and VMI. I mean, it's a good league. So it's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be tough. There's a lot of good players coming out of our league, going into our league, and, you know, really good coaching. And, you know, we're excited about it. We feel like we're the SEC of the mid-majors, if that makes sense.
And final thing for you, you talk about putting money into a program. I know that's something, as we were discussing off the air, that you're doing there in the administration and athletic department at Western Carolina. So tell us everything you have going on with the ballpark.
So big thing is, you know, I don't know if you realize this, but Alex Gary was hired basically during the pandemic. And that year when we shut it down, Alex Gary played college baseball here at Western Carolina. So we were very, very excited about getting Alex back, you know, a catamount, a baseball catamount. And then Kyle Pfeiffer is the deputy AD. He's directly in charge of baseball. And both those guys are former college baseball players. So they're very excited about college baseball and, you know, doing everything they can to, you know, help support the program and take it to another level and stuff like that. So that being said, we have put, you know, about $150,000 worth of, you know, upgrades into our facility this fall. And, you know, dugouts, turf, our home plate is all turfed. Donnie Suttle's one of our storied alumni. He's the vice president of field turf. He helped us with that project. So we have basically, you know, like Mississippi State, if you've ever been there, it's the whole home plate circle is turf, and then the halo around it is turf, and it's just a really cool, you know, always perfect surface to hit on, play on, pitch on, you know, catch on, stuff like that. And then we have a brand new scoreboard. We basically have renovated our dugouts, upgraded those. All new padding, you know, behind home plate, our rails, you know, with like the major league padding, stuff like that. It's just a pretty cool deal. Just all different things we're putting into the facility. And yeah, it's nice. I mean, it's been fun.
No doubt. And it's, you know, 3 days away from first pitch. I know you and the guys are ready to get started. And as always, we appreciate your time and, you know, look forward to having you back on down the road.
We appreciate you, I mean, doing this for, you know, North Carolina baseball. And, you know, I know there's so many great programs in this, you know, this state. And, you know, a guy like you getting it out, getting the word out is awesome, Bubba. I appreciate that. We all do. And, you know, really an honor to be on this every year.
Appreciate everyone tuning in and listening, whether it's on, you know, YouTube, Facebook, or any of those podcast platforms. There are so many, but we can be found pretty much anywhere podcasts are found. Remember, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, and we have all of these NCD1 baseball interviews saved there into one playlist and makes it easy to access. So check those out between now and opening day and through the first week or two of the season as you're preparing yourself for the games that you're going to be following throughout the year. But for Western Carolina head coach Bobby Miranda, I'm Bubba Rosenbaum, and you've been watching and listening to the Sports Objective and our NCD1 baseball preview. Take care, everyone. Into the Sports Objective and our NCD1 baseball preview. It is game week, and we're wrapping up our preview as we have NC State and Western Carolina left to cover. And right now, very excited to be joined once again from Pack Pride, Corey Smith. Corey, we appreciate you coming back on.
Yes, sir. Love to do it as always, man.
Absolutely. And before we dive into this year, you know, what a season it was a year ago for NC State. Started off 4-9 and 1-8 in the ACC, but got a big midweek win where they came back down at UNC Wilmington and then went to Boshamer Stadium and swept the Tar Heels, which is something that the Wolfpack fans obviously always enjoy. You know, that kind of flipped the season, and the Wolfpack really played well, 33-10 down the stretch, 18-6 in that ACC, and then it was just a shame what happened in Omaha.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're looking back at last season, I think a lot of people will just kind of look at the finish and just say, hey, you know, it was really unfortunate the way things went. But, you know, the season as a whole was a roller coaster ride. As you said, started off the season really poorly, about as bad as you could. And I think a big part of that was because of the fact that you didn't really have any lead up. You know, you didn't have any non-conference games or a ton of them anyways. You had a couple midweek, but you didn't really have any series. They also had a team that they were playing, had a COVID issue at the beginning of the season. I forget which team it was, but you know, their opening series was called off. You go straight into ACC play. They get kind of, you know, thrown into the fire. It didn't play well. And as you mentioned, you go to UNC, they swept that series. And that's when the switch flipped, or the flip switch for them going down the season. And you know, you look at what they were able to do. And I think that's huge for going into this year. They lost a lot of players, but in particular, you know, the pitching staff for NC State, Sam Heifel, you know, Matt Willitson as that number two guy. You know, they lose a guy in Reed Johnson, but the two of them, I mean, were probably two of the best starters for NC State down the stretch going into last year and heading into this year. And then Chris Villeman at the back end of that. You know, so you lose a lot of guys, but having that type of pitching staff back from the way this team finished last season, you know, gives this team a lot of confidence heading into the year.
Yeah, and just a couple more things regarding last season. You hear it all the time from coaches, especially in baseball, it's a marathon, not a sprint, and that couldn't have been any more true, like you said, about that 2021 NC State season. And it was pretty crazy. You know, when you looked at it, Louisville had swept the Wolfpack in Raleigh, and then Louisville doesn't even make the tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know, and again, you know, some of those teams that you were expecting to be, you know, some of the stronger teams when NC State went up against them earlier on in the season, it didn't really pan out, but several of them did. I mean, I'm thinking back to, you know, again, going back to that UNC series. I mean, UNC was ranked number 11 in the country at that time, and they ended up falling out. They did end up making the NCAA tournament, but definitely not quite as high as anybody thought at that time. You know, and then, you know, you win a series against Boston College at home or on the road. You sweep that series. The Notre Dame series, they lost two of them, but that was a series, a team that really held up. Virginia Tech, Wake Forest, all those different teams, you know, kind of in and out of the rankings throughout the year. And for NC State to win those series down the stretch, I think gave them a ton of confidence going into the NCAA tournament.
And then that Arkansas Super Regional, you know, a lot of, you know, casual fans, they see a 21-2 score and they think, well, you know, Arkansas is going to punch his ticket for Omaha. And, you know, I don't know, just kind of having a feeling the way NC State had played down the stretch. I said, don't write the Wolfpack off just yet. And they won two thrillers in games 2 and 3 of that Super Regional.
Yeah, and again, a big part of that was the performances of Sam Heifele and Matt Willetson. You know, we talked a lot over the last several years about Reed Johnson and the stability that he brought to this team. But, you know, there was a lot of games, unfortunately for him, where he just didn't play particularly well, and that happened to be one of them in that Super Regional, that Friday game. You know, and then, I mean, I'm looking back at the stats now. I mean, Sam Heifele gets the win in that second game. You know, Evan Justice plays really well down the stretch. He gets a save for NC State, but, you know, only two runs given up over the first six innings, and that's all on Sam Heifele. You know, the second game of that series, NC State wins 6-5. The three runs that were given up late in the game happened to be off the bullpen. So for NC State to win that game and then, you know, go into the next day, they pretty much pitch with like five, maybe six pitchers down the stretch in that in just about the entire NCAA tournament. And a lot of that had to do with the fact they just didn't have, you know, a ton of arms in the bullpen because of either injuries or simply just, you know, having to lean on other guys that they had throughout the year. And that's, I think, the biggest question mark for this team going into this year is how good can the bullpen be? They get a lot of guys back that, you know, they were missing this past season, but, you know, they're still going to have to answer those questions early on in the season. And that's really where this team struggled at the beginning of last year. So if there's a reason for, you know, concern, that I think continues to be it. I think they feel good about a lot of the players. They've kind of plugged into those holes when it comes to, you know, the lineup, but, you know, that bullpen is still kind of a question mark going into the year.
Yeah. You mentioned things positionally. Eight guys drafted a year ago, and I think at least five of those were position players and a designated hitter. So just talk about, you know, take us around the horn. Let's start off with the infield. I know one of the guys you returned there is Link Jarrett's son, JT, obviously Link being the head coach at Notre Dame.
Yeah, JT's been, you know, defensively one of the best players for NC State over the years, typically playing second base for NC State. So they feel good about him there, you know, and the biggest thing for him is really the bat. We saw him play well in the ACC tournament late last year. We've seen him step up at times when it comes to, you know, his bat, but typically he's been around that 7, 8, 9 slot in the lineup. So you're not expecting a ton from him with the bat, but we'll see, you know, how well he's developed this offseason. The other guy, you know, in the infield to know as of right now, that's really it. You know, in terms of returning players, that's really it. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of movement around this infield. Lou James Groover, Gio, is as he goes by, is a name to know that transferred in from Charlotte. Josh Hood, who transferred in from Penn. And then Peyton Green is a true freshman for this team that, from everything we've been told, will probably slot in as a starter at shortstop. And then if we're still talking infield here, Jacob Cozart is kind of the guy that we've heard throughout the offseason will be taking that that catcher spot after you lose a guy. You know, I mean, for several years, NC State has typically had strong catchers, but he'll come in and expects to be, they expect him to be the starter there. And then, you know, as well in the infield too, one guy that I don't want to forget here that we've talked a lot about this offseason is a guy in Tommy White, 6 foot, 242 pounds. You know, he's a big dude, has a big bat. Originally from North Carolina, played his last year of high school baseball at IMG Academy, but he comes in. He was kind of looked at as, you know, a potential day one, day two draft pick this past year. But, you know, once teams started figuring out, hey, he's going to go to college, he's going to go play regardless of where he's drafted, you know, he wasn't seen as that anymore. So he comes to NC State with some pretty high expectations on his shoulders. Between him, Peyton Green, and Jacob Cozart, you know, Elliott even talked about it last week, and he kind of compared it a little bit, maybe not a direct comparison, to, you know, that year they brought in Carlos Rodon, Trey Turner, and Brett Austin, you know, and several other guys that really panned out for that team too. But you know, that's kind of what the talk is now, is having, you know, potential of three freshmen really stepping into those roles and being asked to produce a lot for this team. Will it pan out? We'll see. But they have a lot of transfers that are coming in to kind of add some depth to those spots too.
If you would tell us about the outfield, what returns, and then what does Coach Avent and staff have coming in?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the returning production for this team, when it comes to the outfield, it's really Devontae Brown as of right now. Devontae Brown, you know, two guys that those are the two guys right now in terms of the returners, is Devontae Brown, JT Jarrett. You know, we've heard a lot about his bat, how he's developed this offseason. Back in 2020, he was off to an extremely hot start. By far the best hitter on this team early on. And, you know, it didn't really pan out early on last season for NC State for Devontae Brown. You know, we saw him kind of step in and you know, become a better hitter down the stretch. Really, you know, I mean, I think back to that, the Ruston Regional last year against Louisiana Tech. He was named the MVP from that series, and a big reason why was because of his bat. He's made some really big defensive plays for this team. You know, you think back to the World Series last year, he had a really big catch and that win against Vanderbilt before, you know, the Pac-13 and everything happened there. But, you know, he's been a guy that we've heard a lot about. Another one too, Noah Soles, I think is somebody that not a ton of people are talking about, but has a chance to produce. Dominic Pololi is a guy, Dom Pololi is his name, that comes, again, another player that comes over from Charlotte. You know, I've heard a lot about him and his potential too. He was a player that won Player of the Week several times for Charlotte before he came in to the system. Another player that ECU fans on that side might remember is Trey Truitt. He had to sit out last year due to NCAA rules. But he's, you know, there's talk of him having a potential role. Another guy is Chase Nixon, the son of Trot. He has a chance to step in and potentially play. But then there's a lot of other guys that, again, you know, we've talked about the infield a little bit, but there's some guys that have some versatility there that could step into those roles too. So there's not a ton of outfielders on this roster, but there's several guys that are looking to try to take over those roles.
I know earlier you mentioned Sam Heifel. If you would tell us about the rest of the rotation and how things are shaking out, and then address the bullpen. And you've already done so in general terms, but tell us some of those specific arms that you expect to be key cogs.
Yeah, you know, the other guy in that 1-2 punch, and we'll have a story actually right before the season starts on these two guys, but Sam Heifel being the, you know, probably the Friday starter, Matt Willitson. You know, it'll be interesting to see where they put him in all of this. Do they put him on Saturday to try to go ahead and win series, or do they put him on Sunday and try to have a bridge in between there, because Sunday is where he's been most comfortable. I don't know exactly how Elliott Avent is planning on doing it. We asked him about it last week, and he didn't give us a direct answer. The third guy in that starting rotation, if I'm handicapping it right now, I'm probably going with David Harrison, a guy who's been that Sunday starter before. He's also been a midweek starter at times too, depending on where his stuff is at. But you know, he's a veteran, a guy that's been on this team for several years, so I get the feeling he'll get kind of the first crack at that. He missed a good portion of last season because of some off the field troubles, but it wasn't stuff that directly correlated with him. So, you know, he was just kind of caught up in some offseason stuff that happened. So I expect to see him, you know, come back and be a potential guy in that third rotational spot. You know, Chris Villeman was somebody that heading into the offseason, a lot of people kind of thought, you know, he'll be the third guy in that rotation. He'll be the guy that comes in. But, you know, from everything we've heard, it sounds like he's probably expected to be the closer for this team, which I think is a role that suits him. He's somebody that can pitch several innings. And I think, you know, as we saw late last season, he kind of stepped up into that that late rotation role. You know, if Matt Willetson didn't pitch particularly well, he was able to take over the fifth, sixth, seventh innings and bridge that gap to somebody else. But I think he'll step into that closer role this year. They get a lot of arms back from last year. They didn't have Baker Nelson as a big name to know. Carson Kelly is somebody that we've heard a lot about as a freshman stepping up. Tristan Sipple comes back. Logan Whitaker. You know, all of these guys have a chance to produce for this team. And Garrett Payne is another name. We haven't heard a ton about him this offseason, but he was somebody that was part of that Pac-13 team last year. He pitched really, really well in Omaha. 6'7" kid. Really long, lanky, has a lot of life on his fastball. So, you know, he's somebody that I think could step up into that role. So there's a lot of guys up and down this roster. I forgot about Cooper King entirely too, and John Morelia too. That those are two guys that you know, haven't had a lot of time to be able to pitch so far, but we'll see exactly what they're capable of this year too.
A couple more things for you, Corey. Taking a look at the schedule, and not surprisingly, the Wolfpack play 14 out of their first 16 games at home, beginning with a three-game series this weekend against the Evansville Purple Aces, starting on Friday afternoon, weather permitting. And then also you get your ACC opener, that series with Notre Dame at Doakesville.
Oh, I lost you, man.
Did you catch any of that?
Yeah, I caught. Well, you got all the way. I heard all the way until the home opener against Notre Dame.
Yeah, just 14 out of the first 16. They are at Doak Field. You know, you have the three-game series against Notre Dame to open ACC play at home as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think the very beginning of the season for NC State is a good opportunity to, you know, stack some wins, get some confidence. You know, we talked about it earlier, the slow start that they got off to last season. That's not necessarily the case here. But I do think, you know, some of these series are a little bit more surprising. I think Evansville has a chance to, they bring some experience back. So that should be, you know, a good test for this team. I think they still sweep the series, but again, a tough test for them. Quinnipiac is a team that, you know, we don't really know a whole lot about, but Northeastern, that third series is a real tough test for NC State and for really any team across the country. Northeastern is a team that made the NCAA tournament last year, has a chance to return a lot of depth pieces from last year and really challenge any team in the country. So now that should be an interesting series right before they get to Notre Dame. Notre Dame, as you mentioned earlier, Link Jarrett, the type of team that he's put together over the years. They got to, if I remember correctly, the Super Regionals last year, didn't advance to the College World Series, but they have a really strong team coming back too. JT Jarrett welcoming his dad back home, so that'll always be a fun series. They, you know, NC State lost two of those games last year, but that was during the, you know, the comeback that they were making. So they won one of those games, but you know that's going to be a good opportunity for NC State to kind of set the tone before they go to Florida State the following week, and then, you know, in between all of that, you know, after all that, after the Georgia Tech series at home, they'll go to ECU. So all of those, I mean, you know, we're talking about, you know, these are all like very early in March. So we're just a couple weeks away from all these series really starting. And that's how quickly this will fire up in the ACC.
And with all the success that Coach Avent and this program has had, obviously you're always, you know, trying to stay ahead in the arms race. And I know there's some renovations and so forth taking place at Doak Field over the coming months and years. So just talk about that, you know, what all is being done, both to the stadium in terms of seating capacity, upgrades, and so forth?
Yeah, well, they haven't said anything about the seating capacity yet or any upgrades there. You know, as of right now, they've shown the plans. There hasn't been anything official that's come out. You know, as of right now, the plan is for, you know, a close to $15 million project that they're going to be completing. You know, the plan is to start it after the conclusion of this season. So basically working on fundraising, working on getting plans together for that. But, you know, everything that I've been told and we've kind of seen it on the plans is, you know, it's going to upgrade the overall look of Doak Field from, you know, from the outset, from a fan perspective, and, you know, more than likely increase capacity too, and add some more, you know, some nicer assets to the, you know, to the look of the field. But the biggest thing that they're trying to do right now is really upgrade, you know, everything behind the scenes for the players and for the program. And that's been what's been the priority, because, you know, for Elliott Avent for several years now, he's been talking about, hey, we really want to, you know, we want to upgrade, you know, the actual facilities and upgrade everything for the players to be able to recruit the way that they want to recruit and bring in players. But that's been kind of the priority this time around. They still want to upgrade, you know, everything across the, you know, across the stadium and everything like that. But the biggest thing has been, you know, making the player experience that much better too.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Corey, as always, we appreciate your time. But before we wrap it up, tell folks how they can follow your work there at Pack Pride.
Yeah, as always, you guys can check it out at packpride.com, or you can go follow us at Pack Pride on Twitter, or myself, R. Corey Smith. There's no E. So at R. Corey Smith on Twitter to follow along.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I double checked to make sure there was no E before I put that graphic on the screen so I get that right. But really appreciate your time, and appreciate everyone tuning in. And, you know, we've, in the open, I referenced 17 Division I baseball programs around the state of North Carolina. We've caught up with someone from every program. Primarily it's been head coaches, but some beat writers, play-by-play voices, so on and so forth. I'm trying to catch up with Western Carolina's head coach, Bobby Miranda, between now and opening day. Hopefully we'll be able to get that done. But if you're a college baseball fan, you know, a lot of overlap with the midweek games. So if you would like to, you know, get a preview of one of those other in-state teams, definitely check out our NCD1 baseball preview. We have all these 16 interviews now compiled into a playlist that makes them easy to find. Just search the Sports Objective on YouTube, and you can find all of these interviews as well as our other content. But for Corey Smith, I'm Bubba Rosenbaum. You've been watching and listening to the NCD1 baseball preview on the Sports Objective. Take care, everyone.